home base of operation, going out into the woods or into public places to support the preparedness drill. And it's a real simple contest. It's a matter of setting up stations and antennas and attempting to make as many contacts as possible in a 24 or 27 hour period of time, based on there's some rules that I won't get into, but it's either a 24 or 27 hour long contest that will commence this coming Saturday on 11 o'clock Phoenix time, and basically will terminate 11 o'clock Sunday Phoenix time.
If I'm not mistaken, it's the most popular event or most participated event that the amateurs have all year, right?
It probably is very true, Len. There's a lot of other popular contests, but this one brings out a lot of interesting activities, because most people enjoy being out in the open air. At least we in Phoenix really enjoy getting up into the mountain country, and the 60, 65-degree nighttime temperatures are quite comfortable compared to what could be 100 degrees or 105 degrees in the evening. So we enjoy getting out and going up into the woods and setting up and just participating.
Okay, which brings us to Jim, because when we go out to field day, we're, of course, not connecting to our normal household current, and we need to have electricity. So we, of course, bring what? We're going to bring generators down from Scottsdale Amateur Radio Club?
Yeah, we'll have generators and solar power.
Okay, so Jim, solar power. Let's hear a little about how we can utilize solar power with field day.
Well, great. Solar power basically is the idea of collecting the energy that the sun radiates whenever it's shining at you, and fortunately in your area you have plenty of shots at that. And you typically need to store it until you need it. So a basic solar system consists of a panel which generates the power when the sun's shining at it, and then a battery which stores that up until you need to use it. With a 24-hour activity like this, like field day represents, a kind of emergency alert, you've got to be ready and passing messages for 24 hours. And so during the time of preparation for such an event, or in anticipation of any emergency, you should keep your batteries charged up with solar power. And during the emergency, you can generate part of the power you use.
Okay, that sounds like something. Now, what are we going to do with the Scottsdale Club as far as solar power is concerned?
We'll probably have one station powered almost exclusively by solar power. And the primary reason that we use solar power, or at least started to use solar power, was because there were bonus points awarded to clubs that were going to participate on a natural power basis, and that could be somebody sitting on a bicycle manually cranking a generator or harnessing the energy of the sun or putting a chicken on a treadmill. There's a lot of different ways of doing it. And we have been using solar power since I've been associated with the club. As a matter of fact, I think my very first field day with the Scottsdale Amateur Radio Club in 1982, we had set up our 20-meter station, 20-meter phone station, on solar panels and some big batteries. And about 4:30 or 5 in the morning, I guess, the battery finally gave up the ghost. And there was some rather frantic excursions trying to reconnect the power cords and whatnot to the generator that was available. And that really impressed me. One of our techs indicated that during the heat of the day, during the heat of the contest, that we had more power available going to our battery than we were consuming by the transmitter.
How does that, what do you think of that, Jim?
That sounds great. Frankly, solar power has become more and more popular for communication maintenance, because As long as you are working on a long-term preparedness type of plan, you can, with modest amounts of solar power, less than what you describe in that situation, you can keep your battery bank fully charged and be ready for any event. And it takes no maintenance and very little surveillance. And it costs nothing in terms of fuel usage, and there's no danger of fire or explosion or other things. So the advantage is there for anything that requires instant readiness are pretty apparent. Then you take a day like Field Day where you go out and really do serve intensely. The solar is easy to transport, and again, the fire and the encumbrance of fuel and so forth, all those possibilities of generators. Then the other thing with communication and the short wave bands in particular, solar generates no noise, whereas generators create enough noise to make it difficult to perform the mission. And as teams have gotten used to using solar, they've opted more and more for solar power because it is silent, clean, and safe.
How much solar power does it take normally to run a regular station?
A typical amateur radio station would operate at the 100-watt level. So that would be the output of the transmitter would be roughly like what the power of a 100-watt light bulb in a house would burn. And to generate that much, you usually have to provide about twice as much to the transmitter. When you study out how a transmitter and receiver are used in communication, it turns out that to run a station for an hour, typically takes 4 or 5 ampere hours of charge fed into a battery, and that can be done with a very modest solar panel over a period of half a day or a day.
Okay. I was going to ask if anybody else has any questions, etc. By all means, call us at 241-1510. And John WW7P, call back. I don't know what happened there. It seemed to drop off. But Bill has a trivia question that I want him to ask about Field Day, and we will give away a Sundrop T-shirt to anyone who can answer. It's a little tricky, but not really. Go ahead, Bill.
Thanks, Len. I guess Len and I discussed this question prior to the show today, and he had some concerns about people being able to answer it, but we're going to go ahead and ask it anyhow. The question is, when was the first Field Day? What year?
Okay, and I had no idea whatsoever, and my first guess was the correct decade, and I missed the year by about 2, so I was pretty close. So somebody out there, call 241-1510, 241-1510, or 1-800-293-KFNN, or 293-5366, if you know what year the first Field Day was. Okay, we have a caller that I'm going to take. I think that's John, so let me get him here. Oh, Jesus Christ. John?
Yeah, hey, I don't know if you're taking a request yet. It's not in association with what you're talking about.
Okay, do you have your phone on, John, near the, your radio on near the phone?
I got it turned all the way down.
Okay.
Why, is it squealing?
Yeah, it was.
I'll turn it off. Okay.
Okay, come on back. Welcome to Ham Radio More. Go ahead.
Okay, yeah, I'm looking for a Vibraplex key, a specific one to finish out the collection, the Zephyr model.
Okay.
I need.
Okay, want to give a phone number where somebody can contact you?
841-1480.
841-1480. 80. Okay. Are you going to participate in Field Day?
I don't think so.
Okay. Well.
A lot of fun. Done it in years past.
All right. Well, you don't know the answer, do you, of what year the first Field Day occurred?
Oh, no. I don't know.
Okay. Well, hopefully someone has a key for you. And again, your number is 841-1480.
Thanks, Len.
Okay, thanks for calling, John.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, Jim, we have you back on the air here. And I see some people, but I haven't got a correct answer yet on what year Field Day first began. So, again, we're still waiting, 241-1510. Let me take a moment to talk about Showtronics. Showtronics is the place to buy a computer at. Their address, 1831 West Rose Garden Lane. Their phone number, 256-2266. They're just north of Bell Road, a mile and a half, 2 miles, off of 19th Avenue. They have what they call user-friendly computers. Alan Shope, the owner of Showtronics, gives classes there every Saturday that are absolutely free. Gives advanced classes on Tuesday, which are also free, for those of you who need to learn or want to learn a little more about computers. There really is no other place that has as many computers online when you walk into the showroom as Showtronics. They have over 15 computers sitting there working, from 14-inch monitors and larger. They have a Mitsubishi big screen monitor that I thought was fantastic, with 486 machines, 386 machines, 286 machines, etc. Loaded with hardware, it's just unbelievable, where you can actually touch and try every one, not just one or two like most of their competitors. They have 30-day no-hassle money-back guarantees, 24-hour sales support, after-hours hotline number. They have a one-year fix-it-now parts and labor warranty. They're a Novell Gold authorized reseller for networking. They have 24-hour technical support. They have four electronic engineers who work there full-time. They're not just, your guy off the street that's going to sell you a computer. These people know what they're doing. They can fix a problem if you have it. And their prices are second to none. Alan Shope's new price guarantee is as follows. He will absolutely beat anybody else's advertised price as long as he has a similar product in stock. So he's not scared of XYZ company or anybody else. If he has the product in stock or a very, very, very similar product, he will beat anybody else's price. That's Alan Shope's new price guarantee, low price guarantee. You can't help but go to Showtronics. I've talked to people who have gone there recently, have purchased a printer, purchased a computer, etc. there, gone to the classes and enjoyed it immensely, are very satisfied with the products that they've purchased. So give Showtronics a call. Also, Mike Connors, NQ7K, works there. And if you have any questions in regards to computers and how they work with ham radio, by all means, talk to Mike. So that's Showtronics, 256-2266. You won't be dissatisfied. Lowest prices, best service, biggest selection. There's no reason to shop anywhere else. Jim, I heard you need a computer.
Well, that's right, by golly. We now have the phone number.
We'll have to put you in touch. We have a winner on the line, so let's get him. Hold on a second. Okay, Roger, welcome to Ham Radio and More.
Hi, Len. How are you doing today?
Okay, you know a lot of answers, Roger. You're a trivia-minded individual?
Well, you're going to get tired of me, I guess. I listened, and I didn't hear anybody come up with it, so.
There's no reason you can't call and win again. Roger, N7PMR, what is the year that the first field day occurred?
1933.
And Bill says he was there.
I didn't participate in that one, so I didn't.
Neither did I. Are you going to participate this year?
I'm going to try. I'm going to try like my darndest, yeah.
You going to go up to the Scottsdale one or some other one? Or
XYL's got some plans for Sunday evening, so I'll have to make a quick trip. But I'm thinking about running up and looking over the Scottsdale operation and meet some of the guys up there.
Okay, well, it's not like you didn't know this was going to take place a year ago, so, she should have made other plans.
Uh, doesn't work that way around
here. Okay, Roger. We'll get the information, get you a Sundrop T-shirt that will light up your life. They are really going great guns, Sundrop, the Goodwill ambassador for Arizona. You can, if you want, you're able to get some Sundrop T-shirts. They have caps. They have they've just come out with a giant Sundrop doll, which is like I think about 3 feet high. It's kind of neat. It's got all the colors of Sundrop. So really, it's good news for Arizona. And Sundrop's phone number is 275-7450, 275-7450. They've moved. They used to be in Glendale. They've just moved to downtown Phoenix. And so Sundrop is moving along. They're in a lot of parades and a lot of charity organizations and events. So if anybody has a desire to want a good character, something you can look up to and be proud of, try Sundrop, 275-7450. Thanks again, Roger.
Hey, thank you, Lynn.
Okay.
Have a good one.
You too. Bye-bye. Okay, Jim, we're back. And let's see. Let's talk a little about the types of antennas that Scottsdale Club is going to use for field day, and also types of antennas, Jim, that you would recommend for field day. Jim, you want to go first?
Well, I'd like to hear what Scottsdale's got planned, because Dula had a question, and I wanted to make a proposal that would fit in with whatever else was going on.
You should have seen Bill's eyes light up. I mean, they were lit before, but they went from 75 watters to 150. Go ahead, Bill.
Okay, Jim. Fine. Basically, the rundown is 20-meter monobanders for 20 phone and 20 sideband, and 40-meter monobanders for 40 phone and sideband. We'll probably have a tri-bander or two for the novice 10-meter activity, and I really don't remember now whether we got a monobander for 15 or not. I think we have a monobander for 15, a four-element, and also a four-element for 10. So that's kind of basically the rundown. 80 meters, we've dibbled and dabbled with a lot of different things over the years. And basically, once we've worked all of California and a few stations, Nevada, Utah, New Mexico, and West Texas, you kind of consumed all that you can earn. And what we really need to do is to penetrate east of the Mississippi on 75 and or 80. And that's one of the things that I'd like to learn how to do. I think that if we can do that, we stand a pretty good chance in the 4A category.
Well, that really sounds exciting. I'll tell you what my reaction is. You are set up with an outstanding station for, particularly on the higher bands, working the long skip, looking at 20, 15, and 10. That's, of course, see, on those bands, the skip rarely shortens to under 700 miles. And so when you have those directional antennas at reasonable heights, not terribly high, in fact, you'll be able to pitch your signal so that it bounces right in, wherever the propagation is. And I think that if you're studying as the skip comes in, you hear whether Florida's coming in or whether Texas is coming in, you could actually adjust the height of your antenna so that your signal drops right where the propagation favored it, and that way you'd always be able to hold a frequency and work stations much faster as a beacon station, even if you're not running maximal power. On 40 meters, it gets a little more tricky because there are large periods of time during the day when the skip is shorter than 700 miles. And my recommendation on 40 and then on 80, but looking at 40, would be to include, in addition to what you've got planned, some lower wire antennas that will give you the local coverage out to 500, 600 miles. because there are times during the day when that's really all that's going on, and you don't need directional antennas for that. What you need is high-angle radiators.
Okay, Jim. Yeah, I appreciate that thought. Our antennas are not really too high above ground, although our ground level is around 7,400 feet above sea level. And I don't think we've ever erected anything more than 40 feet on any band, at least in recent times. And basically, we're going up with fixed either 30 or 40-foot towers, and we really don't have the facilities to raise or lower them. And probably 40-foot would be about, or 30-foot would be about the minimum you'd recommend anyhow. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's exactly the way I feel. Getting up to 60 feet shoots your signal out too far for most of the propagation conditions that are going to be there. There will be times when that would work the best, but really you want to stay on the U.S. continental shelf during this exercise. And so, 30 to 40 feet is plenty high for those monobanders on 20 meters, for example. Now, on 40... one thing, I remember working with a group that operated at the 1 watt level for a number of years, and they put a great deal of effort into high gain antennas. Since they were in California, they've had them all fixed east. And I remember going out and studying the antenna situation and saying, gosh, fellas, if ever the skip is shorter than 700 miles, you won't be able to be heard by anybody. Let's get a quick G5RV up there, make sure it's no higher than 30, 40 feet, and I'll bet you can add 150 QSOs just by using that antenna when the propagation doesn't favor what you've already built. And indeed, 250 of their 1,000 1-watt QSOs came off that G5RV on 40 and 20 meters.
Oh, that's real interesting. I appreciate that input.
But the reason is, you take a band like 40 meters, and if you drew a circle of 600 miles around your location, you would find that there are a good 150 to 200 stations operating field day. And there's no sense not working all of them. Especially, when things are slow and the skip doesn't favor the rest of the country, where the rest of the 5,000 stations are.
Oh, I agree. As a matter of fact, I think that our 40-meter performance over recent times has not been as well as can be expected. I personally think that 20 phone and 20 CW is our highest point earners, highest QSO rates, and most consistent. But you've certainly given me some food for thought for 40 as well. Over the years, we have come in second or third in the country and always number one west of the Mississippi in 4A, at least since, I guess, about 1982. And I think that if we could improve our performance on 75 and 80, we probably could stand to raise our standings. And that's kind of my game plan this year, and maybe next year I'll... let somebody else run field day and just concentrate on putting together a 75-meter station.
I think you've got a real smart observation there. You see, 75 and 80 are the bread and butter of the East Coast. If there is good propagation, which, some field days just, there is no propagation of value on 80 meters, but often... If you're sitting in the middle of Ohio, you've got 800 stations within a 500-mile radius of you, possibly even more. And that's a single-skip, low antenna to the ground kind of situation. Even if propagation is poor, you can hear those stations. And so they really have a tremendous advantage over us where we're more sparsely populated. One year I did a field day out of the state of Oregon. And we were on the western edge of the country, and the way we were thinking at the time, the great pot of gold was all the stations in the east of the Mississippi that we wanted to contact. So we put up antennas aimed at that purpose, and we found that they did indeed deliver what we were after in terms of reaching out to those distances. the antennas we chose were those that would give real low angle radiation, and the best of that bunch were the half squares. Now, an 80 meter half square is going to be 136 feet horizontally. That's how long it'll be. And it'll be about 65, 70 feet on the tails that hang down vertically. So you need to get him up 75, 80 feet in the air. And, of course, you've got trees like that if you're going to the mountains. That kind of antenna will hear very little until it gets you get 1,000 miles away. And then after that, you hear very well. And your signal radiated follows the same pattern.
Okay, Jim, you're saying that the horizontal element on that would be 130, which would be typically a dipole for 80 meters, and we'd want that about 65 foot in the air.
Right.
Okay, and the vertical drop-offs from the endpoints then would be how long?
If you start with 70 feet, you'll 70 and 135 or 70 and 140, that will put you in the 80-meter CW band, and then you work with 62 and 130, roughly, for the phone band.
Okay, and all these things, all these vertical legs will be is connected from the top point to towards the ground, but insulated from ground, right?
That's right. They just hang down from the trees, and you feed it with coax going diagonally. Keep it away from the radiator that's closest to it, and keep them so they don't couple strongly into each other. Are you running at the 100-watt level, or are you running more power?
No, we're running basically 100-watt rigs.
Okay, well, at 100 watts, I think you'll be able to succeed with this strategy. Continuing with my own experience, we were running at the 1-watt level. And though we could hear, just telling you how it sounded, it was just thrilling because you'd switch from, a 70-foot high dipole to this, which was at the same height. And on the 70-foot high dipole, from Oregon, you would hear California, Utah, state of Washington, real strong signals. And barely, you could hear maybe something as far away as Missouri. Well, when you switch to the half square, you don't hear California and Washington. They're gone. Or they're just the faintest suggestion of a signal. And you hear from Missouri to New York strong. And, that was really exciting. The problem was that running 1 watt, we just didn't have enough signal getting into them. When you think about that, those stations were sitting around with low dipoles and generators, grinding up, making a high noise level, and they weren't able to hear our little signal. So we were extremely frustrated.
Well, I think with all this information you're giving, Jim, I'm sure that Bill is going to be number one this year. Bill, you want to be number one?
Oh, absolutely. I've wanted to be number one for the last 8, 9, 10 years, whatever it is.
Jim, when we come back after a short pause here, I want to see how you're participating this year, if you are, in Field Day. I want to take a minute to talk about Wallpaper World with 6 locations in the Valley. There's one near you. They have wallpaper in stock, and they're running a special sale. Actually, if you mention Ham Radio and More, you can receive 60% off the regular list price on any wallpaper they have in stock in any of their stores. Now, they've run 40 off. They've even run 50 off. They've never, ever run more than that. This is 60% off. Now is the time to buy wallpaper at Wallpaper World. If you have an item that lists at $12, you're going to pay, 12 times 4, about $5 a roll or so for it. So now is the time to buy wallpaper from Wallpaper World. Again, they have 6 locations in the Valley. They also make their own window treatments, mini blinds, vertical blinds, pleated shades, and custom wood shutters. So if you have some real fancy windows you want covered with wood shutters, there's nobody that beats Wallpaper World's prices. It's direct, factory direct to you. Again, they have 6 stores, One in Mesa, the new store at Stapley and Southern. They have a store in Chandler at Dobson and Elliott, a store in Scottsdale on Scottsdale Road just south of Camelback, one at 40th Street and Greenway, their store on 43rd Avenue and Bell Road, and their main headquarters and factory at 30th Avenue and Thomas. That's Wallpaper World. Their number is 678-1234. And mention Ham Radio and More and get 60% off on wallpaper that they have in stock this week only. Ray, when he gets off the telephone, he'll come in here, and we're going to have the drawing. So that'll be taking place in a couple of minutes. Jim, how are you going to participate this year in Field Day? And if you tell me you're going to participate by watching television, I'll be very upset.
That would be very out of character. Field Day is a great event for me in amateur radio. I enjoy it enormously. And I tried to turn almost every other contest into a warm-up for Field Day. I guess it's all related to what I've tried in past years. I've usually operated at the one transmitter, two operator level using battery and solar power. That's ever since 1982 when I did my first Field Day, actually, and I used a generator. And after that, I went to solar largely to avoid the noise and also having discovered how well I could do at the low power levels. In fact, I've operated at the 1-watt level except for last year and I guess 1 year before that, and we'll be operating at 5 watts this year. What we're going to do this year is go to some nice mountains just south of Provo.
How tall are they?
Sal Range.
How tall are they? Because
they're 10,000 feet.
Bill is sweating.
Well, he doesn't have to worry. We're in a different category.
Okay.
And we will be freezing. He may be sweating where he is, but where we are, we may not actually be able to go because there's still snow on some of the access roads. But the mountains are, they run north and south, and they're rounded on the top and grassy with 50, 60-foot pines and aspens.
Mm-hmm.
And they're spaced relatively sparsely so that you can hang quite a few antennas and separate them out, and you can drive in among them and find a place to camp and so forth. And that's what we're going to be doing. Our plan is kind of interesting. I wore myself out last year. I backpacked into a place on an island in Salt Lake, and I thoroughly wore myself out. And we had chosen a place using survey maps and everything that had a parabolic shape. And so we tried to use this parabolic shape to guide the antenna's radiation. And it indeed worked, but the problem was that the parabola also caught the sun. And since we were in the focus of the parabola, we got roasted. My my companion passed out of heat prostration, and for 4 hours, I wasn't sure I was going to get him back alive. And so
it's supposed to be a fun event.
Oh, it was. This was an adventure, you know. And I've lived that one out. So this year we're going where it's comfortable
and safe.
We have three teams all operating right close together. There'll be two of us that are running two operators and one transmitter, and we're going to set our tables up so that we're close enough that we can shout at each other. And one will be using one call, another the other call, and we're going to just race against each other. And then all the other guys that are not wild, crazy, high-speed code operators, they will be running a third station a little farther off, and it's their job to bring us food.
Okay, well, that's okay. It sounds like I'd be the food server. I got Ray here, and he's about to choose a card. Now, don't look, Ray, when you choose, you know. Okay, give me one. Okay, here it comes. Huh, okay. Well, interesting. Betty Hiller. Betty Hiller, KE7PF, is the winner. And Betty, what you've won is one of Lee Finkel's 7 Mike Hamstuffs individual QSL card box. It has a a bunch of file cards in it, and I hope you're a big DXer because that's what it's for. And we'll get, now we have it here. I think we're going to have to get you to come down to the studio and pick it up, but we'll contact you in the next few days and tell you. But it'll be here at the studio, and if you don't pick it up, we'll try to get it to you. That's Lee Finkel's company, 7 Mike Ham Stuff is what it's called, and his address is Post Office Box 14455 in Scottsdale, Arizona, 85267. If you want to order any, he sells them, and you can get more information by giving by sending him a little letter, and he'll get right back to you. He sells individual QSL card boxes. Last week he gave away some DXers Excuse T-shirt, which is really cute, and he has some other T-shirts, Sparky and Runner T-shirts and stuff. So if you're interested at all, call, send 7 Mike Hamstuff a little letter, and Lee will get back to you. Thanks, Betty, for sending us this card, and you're a winner. I have a call on the line, so let's take it.
Hello.
Okay, George, KQ7C. Welcome to Ham Radio and More.
Good afternoon, Len. I've got a couple questions on that half-square antenna.
Okay.
I have never heard of that before, and I just wondered where you found some written information on it. Also, I'd like the dimensions again. I presume it's a horizontal wire about 136 feet long with two drops on each end, roughly 70 to 60 feet or something like that.
Okay, we'll get Jim to respond. One second.
Wait.
Okay.
I want to know how you feed it.
Okay. Okay, Jim, you want to respond to that?
Yeah, the half square is an idea that's been around for a while. The earliest mention of it in this, you know, in the form related to this was by Ben Vester in an article in QST in 1973, and it was reprinted in the Antenna Anthology by the ARRL, if I'm not mistaken. Later, it was picked up on by a good fellow named Swank in Ohio, who experimented with it, and he wrote about it in 73, in 1979, and later in World Radio in 1980 or 82, there were some articles by Swank. He has since passed away, and so we won't be hearing any more from him, but I think there were three or four articles that he wrote. Let me just describe it to you, because at Antennas West, we picked up on this idea and changed the feed point from a voltage feed against a ground screen at the base of one of these radials that hangs down, and basically we turned it into an antenna that's fed with coax at a high current point so that you get a good match to coax, and it simplifies erection of the antenna and in fact, basically improves the antenna because you can let it go as high as your environment lets you lift it. And as you raise it, you get a lower angle of radiation than you can if its feet are sitting on the ground.
Okay. George, you have any other questions?
Yeah, I'm not sure on that feed point. Tell me where it is along the wire.
Okay, let me try something here. One second. Well, unfortunately, I lost Jim. So, Ray, would you get Jim back? And sorry about that, George.
That's all right.
We just when we thought we had the phone system down pat, I goofed up. Nobody else but me. Which we're just trying to get him back online right now. And that's why I was trying to put you guys on hold and going back and forth. And then when I conferenced it, for some reason, I disconnected him.
Okay, I presume, am I on with you?
Yes, you are. Go ahead.
I presume that would work on any band.
Yes, he has, absolutely. In fact, he makes them special for any band, but they can all be modified also.
Yeah, well, anyway, it's certainly an interesting thing for field day. We should think about it more, I think, here
okay.
in the Valley, and, you know, see if we can have some fun with it.
Okay, we have him back, so 1 second. Okay, George?
Jim's here.
Okay, Jim.
Hello.
And George. Okay, we got you on. Okay, thank goodness I did something right.
Okay, can he hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, believe it or not.
Okay.
The wonders of modern communication.
Okay, Jim, I just wanted to be a little more more specific on the feed point.
Yeah, let me tell you how that works. The trick is to feed it at a quarter ways in from one of the ends. Since the antenna consists of a full wavelength with a quarter wave turned down at either end and a half wave in between, you can feed at any one of those corners that's formed.
Okay.
And a 50-ohm feed is a very good match.
Okay, that's what I want to know.
Yeah.
It's
a very simple matter. And frankly, if you're going out with a portable installation in mind, I would recommend that you use, a light stranded wire, number 14, number 16, something like that, so that you can just pull it up over the trees, and as long as you follow the intended geometry roughly, you'll find that it performs pretty much the way it's supposed to.
Okay, fine. I don't have time to work on it for 80 meters or the lot size, but I can experiment with it on other bands during the rest of the summer and next winter, and maybe have something ready for next field day.
Oh, right.
Actually, George, Jim has a special on antennas that I'd like him to bring up right now. I think it'd be a good time.
Okay.
Well, okay, we can mention that we have three specials for field day, and if anybody orders tomorrow, we'll be able to get them to them for sure by field day. We have the 40-meter half square. Normally, that is $69.95, and that will be $50. And we have the 80-meter half square, which is normally $89, and that will be $60. So we'll have them ready made, and we can ship them out, so you'll get them by Friday.
And Jim's phone number is 1-800-926-7373. I'll mention again at the end, but I just want to get that in now. 1-800-926-7373. Go ahead.
We also have antennas which I think will be a good complement to such highly directional antennas. And these are like the TNT Wyndham, which is a good multi-band antenna, and it's useful to have at least one of those in any field day operation, because you'll find that there are stations which find themselves on a band which isn't productive. Anybody who misses 17 meters where you can operate, really needs a multi-band antenna so that the 10-meter station where nothing is going on can switch to that, drop to 17 meters, drop to 12 meters. Wherever the action is, that station can move to it. At any rate, the TNT Wyndham, normally $89, is going for $75, and that comes complete with the feed line and everything. It's ready to go. Also, we have an Instant Field Day G5RV, which is normally $50, and that'll be going for $40. Anybody who calls by Monday, we can be sure you get it before the end of the week.
Okay, go ahead.
That's a lot to digest. I sure appreciate the information.
Well, give him a call tomorrow morning and order one of them. He'll be happy. So will I.
All right, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
By the way, there is also a tech note on the half square, which is $5.95 normally. If you call tomorrow, we can send it out for $5, and it does give you good starting points for your research.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling, George. Happy Father's Day.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bill has one question for you real fast.
Hey, Jim, you talked about hoisting these wire antennas up in the trees. What do? Slingshot, bow and arrow, fishing rod, or what?
Well, we tried all of the above, but we've settled on a thing which is now one of our products called the Quick Launch Kit. We found that we could have increased accuracy and we could reach just as high without the added paraphernalia, if we could get rid of the drag and the twist in the launch line. And so we abandoned monofilament and reels and things like that and went to a launch carrier, which would carry the line in which it's laid in layers. Now, it sounds maybe complicated, but it's really easy because you just pull the line in and just throw it in the bucket as it comes, and then you throw off the, you know, the end, the last end in is the one you throw. We study the projectiles and what kind of projectiles throw the best and introduce the least number of accidents in terms of wrapping around branches and so forth. And basically we put this kit together. It's $30 with enough Dacron to hold up a typical antenna, 200 feet of Dacron.
Okay, sounds good. Well, I don't know if we would try to get that in this week because our antenna team will be up there Friday. But anyways, thanks for that input, Jim.
Okay, hold it. Go ahead.
Anyway, that's the one we use in the trees, and we found that it's very quick and very sure. There isn't a whole lot of fussing and mussing around, and the line never gets caught in the tree. So.
Okay, one second. We have another caller on the line. Okay, Dan, N7MRP, welcome to Ham Radio and More.
Hello, Lynn. How are you doing today?
Okay, how are you?
Oh, I'm all right. Well, unfortunately, our club is still fumbling with the bow and arrow trick through the trees there, but now we seem to have luck every year. But I just want to make a last-minute kind of a QST for our club. If anybody hasn't decided on who they're going to go with for field day, just like to let everybody know they are welcome to join our club. I know Scottsdale Club is headed up north of Payson. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. We're going to be up on the B-line, Route 87, about 3 miles north of Strawberry. And if you've hit mile marker 274, you've gone too far.
Okay. Well,
real fast, Dan. There's less than a minute.
Okay. Well, if you'd like to join us, you can contact Gary Hammond. We'll be on top of Mingus Mountain. And you can contact Gary Hammond for further information and a map at 996-8148. So if you haven't decided, please join us.
Okay, Dan, sorry to rush you, but thank you very much for calling. Okay. Okay, I just want to encourage everybody out there to get involved with Field Day in one way or another this weekend. I really appreciate Bill coming here. Jim of Antennas West, 1-800-926-7373. Give him a call tomorrow. He's got all kinds of specials. Jim, I thank you for being here.
Hey, you know, this has really been fun, and Bill, it's been great getting acquainted and hearing about the station you've got going there. Listen for NR7P or KK7C. We'll be working everybody we possibly can with our little tiny station.
Okay, Jim, and you listen for K7TR. And by the way, anybody that wants to know more about it, call 843-1482. That's my home phone number during the week.
And they can still use some more people at the Scottsdale Club.
Right.
Thank you, and I will get right back to you in a minute, Jim. I want to thank all my sponsors, Wallpaper World, Antennas West, Ken Nichols, and Showtronics, and we'll see you next week. We'll have about Army Mars next week, so by all means, come on back on your way from field day and listen in on the car radio. 73s, and happy Father's Day, Dad, again, and we'll celebrate your birthday next week. 73s.